Jim Mars, interesting lecture this time around, but they always are.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always good to chat with you.
Now, last time I talked to you, we were waiting for that 9/11 book. What the hell happened?
Well, I had a contract with a major New York publisher, and I put all the information that I could gather together about what really went on, who might really be behind it, and all the elements that were involved, and turned that into them. They got real excited. They said, "This is dynamite." My editor said, "You know, this one's going to sell a million." They plodded along at their usual slow pace, trying to get that thing out. The next thing I know, they want to do the legal review, which is where they have lawyers contacting you and say, "How do you know this? How do you know that? Where'd you get this?" The last thing I heard from the lawyer was, "Well, you've satisfied me. Everything seemed great." And then about two days later, a senior executive at this publishing house who admitted that he hadn't read the book decided they had to cancel it. And the only reason given was that they didn't want to upset the families of 9/11 victims, which, of course, to me is about the most specious argument ever, because at least 600 of those families are involved in a billion-dollar lawsuit against the Saudi Arabians, saying that they had something to do with it and that they were working in collusion with the United States government. To show that this was nothing but sheer censorship, anytime a book from a major publisher has to be canceled, either because of legal problems or whatever reason, maybe erroneous information or something, they always demand their advance back. But in this case, they not only did not ask for their advance back, but paid me the rest of the money. So.
Well, that's what I heard. I mean, I'd heard that from the rumor. I would hear it from you.
No,
actually paid. Now, is there a covenant that you can't go someplace else with this?
No. They returned the rights to me, so I took their money and I self-published. So now you can get the information on my website, jimmars.com. That's M-A-R-R-S, jimmars.com. You can order it now off of Amazon.com, and we are right now working deals with various bookstore chains, and so it will be available pretty much to everyone. And I would really encourage people to read this, because you cannot have a true understanding of what happened on 9/11 unless you have all the facts, and all the facts have not been presented.
Well, that's one reason I wanted to corner you while you were here at this conference, is find out about that. Incredible story. I know you have some things in there that our listeners, by the way, on the radio, our listeners that are not on the web, if you go to jimmars.com or if you over on our website, we have a link to it as well. They're going to order that book.
Yes, in fact, you know what's interesting, Jerry, is that a lot of things that I wrote about, and most of this was written in beginning in late 2001, and through a better part of 2002, and a lot of people raised eyebrows about some of this stuff, such as the fact that the Bush administration allowed the Bin Laden family to fly despite the no-fly ban right after 9/11. And
that was the only plane in the air, I guess.
Just about. And the fact that evidence seemed to point towards complicity by the government of Saudi Arabia. I mean, after all, we've been told that 15 of the 19 identified hijackers were Saudis. They're not Afghans. They're not Iraqis. So, you know, why weren't we bombing Saudi Arabia? Well, of course, the reason for that is that Saudi Arabia is one of our major oil suppliers. But the thing that really gets me is that who is the long-standing, well-documented, close business and social friends of the Saudis? Well, that's the Bush family. So a little bit too cozy for my liking, and this type of thing needs to get out. But what's really amazing is now even the mainstream media here in starting to be the fall of 2003, they're even starting to talk about this now, and more people are beginning to say, "Hey," scratch their head, "what's going on here?" So, and once again, I was just ahead of the curve.
I was going to mention that fact that actually some of the more traditional cable channels actually are finally catching up with some of the things that we were talking about 2 years ago.
That's exactly right.
Interestingly enough, at this conference, you had some interesting observations, and one thing I've always thought about was it was kind of strange that the museum was looted in Iraq so fast.
Right.
And you pretty well laid out a pretty good case about that.
Well, it not only was looted quickly, it was looted in a very organized and orderly manner, with many thousands of Iraqis standing around shouting, "Don't do that, don't do that, it's our national heritage." And yet this small gang that broke into the museum, and actually they didn't even break in, according to worldwide museum experts, they're saying that these people had keys. They knew exactly where they were going. They were after something. They bypassed very ancient and expensive-looking replicas. So they knew. They knew what the good stuff was. They knew what the bad stuff was. This is a very professional job. In fact, they left behind glass cutters that are not even commercially available in Iraq. And, of course, then you look at our military operation in Iraq, and we find that contrary to all military tactics and strategy, instead of taking over a city or conquering an area and then pacifying the countryside and then moving on to your next objective, we simply made a beeline for Baghdad, where the National Iraqi Museum was looted, sacked, and that's why it's causing us a lot of trouble now, because the countryside was not pacified, and now, you know, we're losing 2 and 3 troops a day.
It looks like it's going to go on
forever.
Yeah, maybe you have the answer. I've been asking, and a lot of people are saying, what was the hurry? And there was something that was the hurry.
There was something that was the hurry, and I don't think it was oil, because Iraq has always been a member of OPEC. The oil was pumping right down the pipelines until the day we invaded.
Now they're having a little trouble.
Yeah, well, because now they got to get it back in operation. So I really don't think, I think oil probably played a factor in it, but I don't think it was the major factor. Of course, weapons of mass destruction, where are they? You know, we still haven't found any of those. And in fact, one of the biggest stories around the world right now, I noticed in World Press Review, is that every big media in the world is raising Cain about the duplicity, the deceit, let's call it downright lies that were told by the Bush administration about how he had to go get weapons of mass destruction. Of course, they're not there. I don't think they've ever been there.
I thought Bob Graham had the right line when he called him the Pinocchio president, but he got a little flack for it.
Of course. Well, you know, everybody around the world pretty well understands that we were lied to about these rationales for why we had to invade Iraq, except here with our major corporate media, you know, kowtowing to the big business dominated administration. I noticed that the U.S. News and World Report, they styled it. They said how the Bush administration crafted their case. So, in other words, Jerry, if I'm lying to you, I'm not lying to you. I'm just crafting my case.
Yeah, and I understand. And a lot of the things that they always cite, this administration, happened 15, 20 years ago. If you tried to make a case on 20-year-old evidence, people would laugh you out of the room normally. But there's been a lot of pressure. I've received a lot of pressure. I know you have, too, mm-hmm. from publishers. And it's hard to pin it down. Whether they are just going along with the mood of the country, or they're being told directly, "Don't do this." I'm not sure.
I tend to suspect the latter. Although there is a lot of public pressure, a lot of people did not want to say things in the heat following the emotions following 9/11.
I was pretty mild about it, and I got a lot of flack. A lot of pressure from advertisers.
I think that's one of the things that may have bothered me more than anything, particularly just before the invasion of Iraq, was that if you tried to raise a question, if you tried to voice any kind of opposition, that made you somehow unpatriotic. And, of course, this is absolutely absurd. This whole country was conceived and built on controversy and on speaking your mind and demanding alternatives of things. I mean, let's face it. We didn't fight the British. We were the British in the American Revolution. We fought our own government. Okay? Well, this whole country was born in rebellion. And to say that if we try to voice some kind of verbal opposition to some government policy makes us unpatriotic, that shows that the idiot making those charges has no comprehension or understanding of what this country is all about.
And they have no knowledge of even recent history. I mean, Roosevelt got a lot of flack in World War II, and people didn't drive you out of the country.
Exactly. And speaking of Roosevelt, I thought it was really interesting that right after 9/11, even the mass media was comparing it to Pearl Harbor. And I want to tell you that that was a very apropos comparison, but not for the reason that most people think. They think, oh, it was another dastardly sneak attack. Well, no, it was a good, apt comparison, because what is now beyond dispute is that a handful of people in Washington, Roosevelt, George Marshall, his chief of staff, and others, knew that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked. They allowed it to happen to further their own political agenda, which was to get a united America into World War II. And the evidence points to this. In the case of 9/11, that the fact that normal security procedures were stripped away, the FBI, the CIA were actually blocked from investigating Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, it seems that that was the same thing that happened all over again, and that's the best light you can put on it.
And you're being nice at the time.
I'm being nice, because once you understand the connections between the Bushes and the Saudis and the fact that there was so much foreknowledge of what was going to happen, and that then, of course, you have to ask the key question in any criminal case where there are deaths involved, which is, who benefits? And if you really look at it, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, they didn't benefit. Now they're hunted worldwide as killer terrorists. Afghanistan certainly didn't benefit. Saddam Hussein, Iraq certainly didn't benefit. The only people that benefited has been the Bush administration pushing through their draconian anti-constitutional laws and policies, furthering an agenda that, by the way, was codified and put down in documents back during the first Bush administration, which stated that we needed to enforce a military-backed Pax Americana, American peace through military might. We needed to take Iraq. We needed to go into Afghanistan. Everything they said has now come to pass. The only thing they required was a provocation.
We're talking to Jim Morris here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. And, Jim, we'll let you go in a minute, because I know you're very, very busy, but I want to find out a little bit more about the Iraq connection and the historic, I mean, that's a pretty historic place, and we kind of touched on this museum thing. There's something going on there. We're talking with Jim Morris, and let's talk about Iraq a little bit more here. You had a book called The Alien Agenda, which was an incredible book. Is there any connection, thread running through all of this?
Well, actually, I believe there is. First off, let's get one thing really clear. Something that's really bothered me is that some national polls have shown that almost 50% of the population somehow has the idea that Saddam Hussein was behind the attacks of 9/11. This is simply not true. In fact, President Bush himself just recently finally came out and said, well, no, we have no evidence that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with it, but yet members of his administration had certainly left that impression and did nothing to correct it.
Well, he did too.
Yes. So obviously it had nothing to do with 9/11. As I said earlier, I don't think it really had anything to do with oil. Certainly didn't have anything to do with bringing democracy and freedom to Iraq. You know, we're still got, that's an occupied country now. So what was the true reason? Well, once you realize that Iraq is the cradle of human civilization, and then you find that there are still in existence these stone tablets that with cuneiform on them, which actually have been translated and tell us an incredible story, which is that the ancient Sumerians said they learned all of the trappings of civilization, such as writing, politics, farming, medicine, you name it. They got it from who they describe as the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki literally means those who came from the heavens and landed on the earth. So what we're talking about here is perhaps future technology for space flight and for supersonic flight, for faster than light flight, that maybe the keys of which may be found in these ancient tablets, which were in the Iraqi National Museum,
which were looted strangely without any resistance.
Right. And I might add that a collection of world class museum directors prior to our invasion of Iraq had gone to the Pentagon and received assurances that they would protect these priceless treasures. And yet, when the American troops entered Baghdad, there was no guard thrown up around the National Museum whatsoever. In fact, when one of the officials actually found some American troops and brought them there, and for about 15 or 20 minutes, they actually chased some of the looters away, then they received orders to withdraw.
Interesting that Saddam Hussein has escaped, and he always thought of himself as Nebuchadnezzar, right?
That's true, and if you go back and study the Bible and look at the overview of the account of King Nebuchadnezzar, you find that he was on a search. He was trying to locate the place where his gods came from, and he wanted the same powers as the gods.
The interesting thing, a lot of people, I mentioned it on the air a couple of weeks ago, the Pentagon released a statement two or three months ago on a memo that the military occupation of space now, they call it near space, the area from the moon to the earth, is going to be ours, the United States.
I know it. And see, this was a big controversy back in the 60s. When we were talking about going to the moon, and we were kind of in a race, a space race with the Russians. And, you know, they were accord signed at that time, and general consensus, both in the United States and in Russia, and, of course, all over the world, that there should be no militarization of space. Well, the Bush administration has turned that policy on its head.
Completely and almost without much press observation.
And without much opposition. And why was that? Because of 9/11.
Changed everything, didn't it?
It certainly did.
So you kind of wonder, you know, you talk about who benefits from things. In your book, I'm sure you lay out a pretty good case.
The case is pretty overwhelming. It actually is. There's whole sections on the foreknowledge within the FBI, foreknowledge within the CIA, foreknowledge within Israel, and the fact that normal security procedures were not followed. For example, in 1999, your listeners might recall that the golfer Payne Stewart had an airplane accident in the fact that they went up in a Learjet and their oxygen equipment malfunctioned and they either died or passed out, and that they quickly went off course. Within 10 to 15 minutes, there were fighter aircraft, interceptors, all over the Payne Stewart's airplane, and they even had orders to shoot it down if it looked like it was going to go down in a crowded urban area. But luckily, it crashed. It ran out of fuel finally and crashed in an unpopulated area. But the point is, this was just a private Learjet with a golf pro on board and some of his friends and family. And they had interceptors up within 10 or 15 minutes. On 9/11, you had four commercial airliners go off the course. Their transponders turned off. It was obviously a coordinated hijacking, and yet they didn't even notify the Air Defense Command for 40 minutes, and it took longer than that to get jets into the air. Something stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, it certainly does. I might buy the excuse of the first one crashing into the tower, but that next plane, they knew where it was.
Exactly. And, of course, you had Flight 93 that went down in western Pennsylvania, and they even knew that, or suspected it was on the course to Washington, and they still couldn't get in the aircraft there, they claim, although there were witnesses who said there was a jet in the area. And, in fact, there's a lot of suspicion that Flight 93, regardless of the heroism of the passengers,
shot it down.
Yeah, that it was shot down. We do know that they had the orders. The orders were standing to shoot it down. We also know there was an F-16 in the area. And the key to me, being a former aviation writer, is that if that plane had, let's say the prevalent story and theory is that the passengers charged the hijackers and there's a big fight on board and the plane crashed. Well, that plane would have come in, buried into the ground, caused a huge, big hole, and that would have been about it. Flight 911 left a debris trail of 8 miles, which means that plane was coming apart in the air.
And that makes it pretty suspicious.
Very suspicious.
Jim Mars, we always appreciate you being here. One final question. Are we going to be 40 years later talking about 9/11?
Well,
whether or not there's a conspiracy there,
I hope not. But we will except for one thing, and that is the will of the people of this country. If we rise up in righteous indignation and demand from our elected leaders that they actually do a truthful investigation and uncover the true culprits behind 9/11, then perhaps we can at last see justice done.
JimMars.com, check him out, and you can order the book there. Always a pleasure to have you on, Jim.
Oh, it's always good talking with you, Jerry. Thanks.